Hello, this is Reading with Roxanne, and we are recording here at Bookstore One at 117 South Pineapple Avenue in Sarasota, Florida. I'm here with my good friend Andrea Ginsky, and today we're going to talk about books with epigraphs, which are quotes that either start chapters or start the beginning of the book by people other than the author, obviously. So we're going to start out by talking about a book we both read, which was We Could Make This Place Beautiful by Maggie Smith. Maggie Smith.
Right. It's not Maggie Smith, the actress. It's Maggie Smith, the poet.
Right.
Yes.
And the epigraph was, that I liked, was I Am Out with Lanterns Looking for Myself, which is a quote from Emily Dickinson.
Well, the whole book is just full of quotes. So that's one of the things I loved about it to begin with. Mm-hmm. So the book's about a woman going through a really painful divorce, and she is a poet, so she looks to literature to kind of figure out her life. So the book is broken up in really short sections,
yeah.
And a lot of them are started with a quote. So there's this one by Audre Lorde. I speak here of poetry as the revelation or distillation of experience. Maggie Smith has a, I find this quote interesting because Maggie Smith has a Substack that's really on the craft of writing poetry. So she's very much on sharing how to write and helping young writers. So
nice. That
quote kind of makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another? I have one more.
Just the fact that she learned so much about herself through this process, as gut-wrenching as it is, she comes out. You know, it is a gut-wrenching book in some ways, obviously.
Oh, it is, yeah.
But yet, at the end, you don't feel horrible, right?
Yeah.
You feel like she has more a whole self having gone through this, which, again, anybody has had a tragedy knows you learn from it, but it takes a long time.
Yeah, because it's a nasty divorce.
It
but
is
it
nasty.
Says, you know, I wrote when I first read it that it's a study of joy and grief.
Yes.
She also has two kids, and the kids... The kids play a lot of part in the book and obviously in her life, but they're a big part of the joy, I think, that carries her through.
Yeah, and I was reminded of my son, because I was a divorced mom, too, just how much it's so special those times when it's just you two, and for her it was just the three of them.
And I think the little boy is named Rhett, like Rhett from God of the Book.
But
there's a quote from Maggie Nelson, and I thought it was Maggie Nelson wrote The Argonauts, and she writes kind of like little off-center type stuff. And I think that Maggie Smith and Maggie Nelson are friends, but it says, "For to wish to forget how much you love someone and then to actually forget can feel at times like the slaughter of a beautiful bird who chose by making nothing short of grace to make a habitat of your heart."
Mm.
That's beautiful.
That's gorgeous.
You know, think of love going away.
Yeah.
Being comfortable again.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, we both love this book.
I really did.
Definitely is a big endorsement for You Can Make This Place Beautiful by Maggie Smith.
It really is beautiful. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Yep.
Okay. Another one I'm going to talk about is Killers of the Flower Moon by David Gran. And I may have talked about this last time, too. It's coming out as a movie in 2 weeks. And so that's what inspired me to read it. And it's a story in the 1920s of how the Native Americans were kind of pushed onto this land in Oklahoma. And then, lo and behold, it had oil underneath. And a lot of them made it rich. And then, of course... greedy, horrible people didn't like that and decided to start killing them off. So it's a well-told book. It reads like a mystery, actually. It's funny. One of my friends is reading it. Or no, my son is actually reading it. And he's like, I have an idea of who the bad guy is. And I was the same way. And then obviously it comes to fruition. But there's a quote in it. There's two quotes. One was by Shakespeare, Julius Caesar. And it's Where wilt thou find a cavern dark enough to mask thy monstrous visage? Seek none conspiracy. Hide it in smiles and affability. And the main villain in this book is one of these guys who's always got a big smile on his face. There's real pictures of him in the book, which are fascinating. He's got the wire-rimmed glasses. He's got the bow tie. He looks like a man of prestige and respect, but underneath he's a really, really evil man. And it's just shocking how people can deceive people into thinking they're great because they're well-dressed, they're well-spoken. You know, they can get away with murder, literally.
Right, right.
And then he had another quote by Faulkner from Absalom, Absalom. I won't read the entire thing, but it's basically a quote about how heavy history is and the past is, and it's so overwhelming, it's hard to take it all in. And I think David Grant experienced this because he really researched this so much that he actually uncovered evidence that they didn't even know. And it was a quote about how we can never truly understand the past or how things happened because we weren't there, but yet we're sort of left with trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. So I highly recommend Killers of the Flower Moon by David Grant.
Okay. So the book, next book I'm going to talk about is probably going to be on the list of like our favorite books for the bookstore this year because four people who work here read it and loved it so far. It's called Day's Work, and it's by a novelist, Chris Backgelder, and his wife, Jennifer Habel, who is a poet. And the book is about Herman Melville and Moby Dick. So the couple, it takes place during the pandemic, and the wife is kind of obsessed with finding out about Melville. And the book is full of quotations. Like half the book seems like it's italicized because, I mean, it goes into, so if you're into books with quotes and epigrams, this book is really for you because it has Elizabeth Hardwick, the poet, wrote a biography of Melville. It has things from her. Melville and Hawthorne were friends, and it has snippets of their conversations back, their letters to each other. It has, I think Elizabeth Hardwick was married to Robert Lowell. And, and it has their correspondence. It just goes on and on. So there was a couple of things. Oh, I might have lost my page by flipping through. There's a poem, there's a haiku in here by Issa that has to do with, I don't know, as if nothing had happened in The Crow and the Willow. That's a haiku. Just kind of thrown in there. There's, I had a quote that was a, I've lost it. Anyway, if you're into books with quotations and also just like literary, following like literary paths, like on and on and on, like who said this and who said that, this is the book for you. I mean, I loved it and I read, when I was reading it, I reread the first paragraph of Moby Dick because I read that some author said it was the best written paragraph in literature. You know, so it will make you want, besides like including all these little snippets of work. So here's like an editorial written by Melville when he wrote Taipei, and he's writing about himself. The author desires to state to the public that Taipei is a true narrative of events which actually occurred to him. Although there may be moving events and hairbreadth escapes, it is scarcely more strange than such as happens to those who make their home on the deep. And so it just was an absolutely fascinating read. It also has to do with the couple's marriage because they're it's in the pandemic, and so they're at home alone, and he's quarantined because he has COVID at one point, and she's calling him on the phone and telling him things she found out about Melville. So, I don't know. I loved it.
Okay.
And definitely full of all types of quotes from everybody.
Do they alternate chapters? Or do
they don't. Mostly the wife is the voice. She is what, the one who's really on the Melville quest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
but it's not. It's hard to tell. Another interesting thing is it's hard to tell, like, who is contributing what. Though it's her voice, they're both given credit on the cover.
Yeah.
So that's another kind of interesting point about the book.
Okay.
So that's called Day's Work.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out eventually. All right, great.
That's cool.
My last one is a classic book, Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury. And the epigraph at the very beginning is, if they give you ruled paper, write the other way. And it's by a Spanish poet named Juan Ramón Jiménez. And he was a Nobel Prize winner. And the quote is basically about nonconformity, and just because you're given paper that has lines on it, you could always write the other way. And in the book, Fahrenheit 451, as most people know by now, they are burning books. The authority, the people that are in charge, don't want anyone to read anymore because they want people to be dumb and not. It's very much like today.
Exactly.
And there's another quote in it from the Bible, and the beauty of this quote is, these older men, once they've burned every book, they sit around a campfire trying to remember books and trying to remember things. And so one of them remembers a quote from the Bible, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin." And it inspires them to each, because when you can't remember a certain name or something, sometimes when you do remember it, that inspires you to remember something else.
Right.
So it was almost like the beginning of creating literature all over again.
Yeah.
This biblical quote. So it's a beautifully written book. It's timeless.
Yeah, yeah.
Fahrenheit 451. Oh.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I didn't
hit that. You in here before.
We're trying to stop our podcast.
Okay. No, why isn't it? I'm pressing it right. All right, so pardon that interruption. We had one of our frequent customers come in, and we had to stop, and I wasn't listening to my pause finger. But anyway, so Fahrenheit 451, timeless book with an epigraph. And you've got a couple more, right?
I do. Well, okay. I really only have one book I'm going to talk about. But when I was – Roxanne had this idea, and it got me looking into epigraphs. And so – Stephen King, from what I read, uses epigraphs in a lot of his books. So if you like them, then you should read The Stand because he's got them. And then I was looking at our Stephen King books because we don't have The Stand. And I saw in Fairy Tale, which was one of his more recent ones, the one right before Holly, each of the chapters starts with a picture from a fairy tale. Oh. So it kind of, which made me think about whether pictures could actually be the place of epigraphs. So right, I decided yes. And so the last book I'm going to talk about is Year of the Monkey by Patti Smith, which was the last one of her memoirs. And she has three memoirs. There was Just Kids, M Train, and then Year of the Monkey. And they all have beautiful photographs interspersed throughout the books. And I actually feel like the photographs do work like epigraphs. They take mm-hmm. you away from what you're reading and make you think about something else. So mm-hmm. If you like, and some of them have captions too, like there's a cactus here. A lot of this takes place in the desert, and it takes place in Santa Cruz, California, and Mexico, and it's just a picture of a cactus, and it says love, love, love. So anyway... Okay, so that was Year of the Monkey by Patti Smith, if you like epigraphs in the form of pictures.
Okay, and because you said that, I'll mention one more that has the same thing. It has photographs, and it's Motherhood by Sheila Hedy.
Oh, okay.
Which we just sold, actually. But she's got photographs in there, too. And even though it's a work of fiction, it's a lot about her own experiences debating whether to become a mother or not. And there are photographs in there. Again, I think it's a great epigraph analogy.
Because it takes you away from what you're reading.
Yeah, and it makes you think about other things. So, yeah.
I'll just add one other thing.
Oh, sure.
So when I was doing some research on epigraphs for this, I read interesting things. One is sometimes the epigraphs may be by a fictional character themselves.
That's right.
Here's an epigraph that starts The Great Gatsby by Fitzgerald, and that epigraph is by someone named Thomas Park Denvilliers, who is actually a character in another F. Scott Fitzgerald book,
This
Side of Paradise. And I also read in a lot of fantasy sci-fi, the epigraph may be from another character in the book who's from the future, kind of predicting what might be happening. So those were interesting little epigraph info.
Fascinating stuff.
That's right.
And great books.
Yep.
So be on the lookout for epigraphs.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Andrea.